Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's not the end of the sermon. But really, it could be, right? Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hey, that's all we need. That's all we need. So important. Jesus conquered sin, death, and the power of the devil. You are winners. And I would say today to all of you and all of us, we have seen the Lord. The Lord is with us. This morning, as you come to take Holy Communion, you will receive the very body and blood of Jesus, his truly real presence, saying to you, by the way, I have risen for you. I have risen for you. I have conquered for you sin, death, and the power of the devil. Heaven is your home. Eternal life, forever with God. That's what it's all about. And that's what Jesus has accomplished. This event that we just read about, heard read in the gospel, is filled with all kinds of meaning and significance as Jesus appeared to the disciples on that first Easter Eve. To me, this is one of the most exciting times in the church, all the way up to the ascension of Jesus. I mean, it's all about Jesus saying, yes, I have risen. I have risen for you. My victory is your victory. Jesus wanted to assure the disciples that this was not some kind of ethereal event or some kind of a tale or fable or some kind of a story that was being circulated about his rising from the dead. It was important because people doubt. You know, doubt plays a big role in our life. Doubt can lead to struggle. It can lead to unbelief. It can lead to chaos and eventually even spiritual death. Doubt gets in the way because, you know, we have a very difficult time understanding and deciphering the mind, heart, and will of God. How can this be? How can this be? Here you have the disciples on that first Easter Eve. What do we see? What's happening? What's playing out before us? Well, first of all, they're locked. Door's locked. In a room. Well, what did they just see? What did they just experience on Good Friday? The death of Jesus, right? And for them, basically, it was over. All their hopes and dreams, all that they had hoped for and wanted in the Savior they saw as their Savior was gone. And now they were really, what, concerned about themselves. And so they shut themselves away. They didn't want to be found by the Jews and the temple guards and all those who had put Jesus to death. They were fearful of their own lives, and so they locked themselves away. Let me ask you a question. Do we ever lock ourselves away? Do we ever shut ourselves off because of fear and uncertainty? Do we ever take cover? Yeah, we do. We don't begin to understand, nor can we figure out everything that happens in our life, especially the evil things that come our way, and so we seek refuge. We seek that safe place, which we often believe is in here. And we shut ourselves off. Well, the disciples boy, they didn't get this. This was all, their hopes and dreams were shattered. All was lost, you know. What would you do? Well, who takes the initiative? Do disciples take the initiative? Not really. Not at all. God takes the initiative just like he does in our life. When we shut ourselves off, when we lock ourselves away, when we try to hide, when we try to look inwardly for help and strength and power and all that kind of thing, a safe place is not here. But a safe place is here. The disciples needed to know that. And so Jesus just, well, whatever. He just appears. He doesn't open the door. He just comes into the room. Doesn't that seem kind of miraculous? I would say so. I mean, normally, try it sometime. Go ahead and see if you can go through those doors out there. It won't work. But with God, of course, not only are all things possible, but he wanted to display again for the disciples his power and his glory. And so Jesus appears, and what is the first thing he says to his disciples? Why don't you guys straighten up? Don't you get it? I've told you again and again that I had to go to Jerusalem. I had to suffer. I had to die, and on the third day I would rise again. Don't you remember those things? Did he say that? What's the first thing he said? Yeah. Peace be with you. What's the first thing God says to us in our struggles? When we shut ourselves off? He does say that in his word. We're reminded of it in his promises, and he says what? Peace be with you. In other words, I love you. In other words, it's going to be okay. How often in our lives do we need to hear that? It's going to be okay. We're facing a very chaotic world in which we live. I mean, one day after another, you don't know what's going to happen. It could be some kind of diagnosis. It could be some kind of tragedy or an event or to a friend, neighbor, even yourself. You don't know. What do you constantly need to know? It's going to be okay. I will bring you through this. And Jesus says to the disciples, what? Peace be with you. He's not there to chastise them. He's there to give them strength, blessing, power, and a great and wonderful command. Jesus says, really, to them, I am alive. Touch me, see me, my hands, my side. I mean, it's all pretty evident. It's important to remember, too, and I meet some people who don't quite get this sometimes. Jesus bodily rose from the grave. He wasn't like a spirit or some kind of ethereal vision or something. He bodily rose from the grave, bodily. Which is ever so important for us, isn't it? Because everything Jesus did, everything he accomplished was what? For us. And we would conquer, as he did, our last great enemy. We have no fear of death. Death will come to all of us, unless in the next few moments or minutes or before you die, Jesus comes again. Well, that's another story, isn't it? We'll be caught up with the great judgment scene, the great, great event of final judgment, and we're on the right. We're the sheep. Well, that's all coming. And Jesus made it possible through his bodily resurrection. Now, that's a miracle to be sure. And you know, the disciples, again, unless you're under the power and the presence and the influence of God's Spirit, it's so difficult to accept, believe. There's so much doubt that gets in the way, God's all powerful. He's there knocking on the hearts of the disciples just as he's knocking on your heart today. And he's saying, look, listen to me. See what I have accomplished for you. And know that this is the day that the Lord has made. It's a thank you, Jesus day. Every day is. The disciples were struggling. You know, Jesus said, well, you gotta remember to them, the best is yet to come. I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the power from on high. I mean, that was his command to them, certainly, that, you know, they were getting fueled by the Holy Spirit to react with faith and courage to face a new day. That's what happens in our personal lives. You know, when we come into contact with God, when we come under the influence of his son, Jesus, and we do, we're equipped for great and marvelous and wondrous things. We have faith. That means God gives us that faith. His spirit drills down into us and just unloads the truth and the victory of Jesus for us. That's why Paul can say, we are more than conquerors in Christ. But we don't often live like it. The disciples didn't get it. They didn't really understand it yet at that point. But the text tells us in John 20 that when they saw the Lord, they were overjoyed. But joy can be fleeting. Joy can be very emotive, and it's not really cemented to the truth. We are emotional beings, but we need to stand on the truth, the word and the promises of God. Not how we feel, but what we know because of him. Faith comes by hearing the word. And the word, of course, is Christ. And so everything sounded pretty good. It looked pretty good to the disciples on that first Easter Eve. They were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And then, of course, you know what happened. He had a word for them. And the word was pretty clear. He said to them again, peace be with you. And then he said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Ooh. Not sure what that was all about. But it looks like something's going to happen in our lives. We're going to be used by God in some way. We got to be ready. We got to be equipped. And you know what's so important and so powerful about God's word? These words of the disciples are words to us and to our heart. Seeing and believing. Remember that first Easter morning? We've seen the Lord. And then just Thomas shows up, you know, 9 days later, whatever. And the disciples, you know, he wasn't there. And they said, we've seen the Lord. And what does Thomas say? Well, unless I can touch him and see him, I can't accept this. I mean, this sounds pretty far out to me. I cannot really truly accept the powerful and majestic hand of God over death. I have to have evidence. I have to have facts. I have to see with my eyes. You know, one of the things that has always occurred to me, there are certain portions of Scripture. I mean, all are great. Obviously, they're wonderful. They're God's word. But I tell you what, some just are so important. Oh, wow. And this is one of them. This is one of them. Doubting Thomas. How many of you have ever been a doubting Thomas? Raise your hand. Okay. That's why I say I'm so thankful. This is depicted for us in Scripture, because here's Thomas, he comes along, he says, I need more. I need more than just a witness. I need more. You know, we're like that too with God, aren't we? I need more. I know you're powerful. I know you can do all things. I know you're here. I know you're around, but I need more. And when we don't get more, we begin to doubt. We begin to question, in other words. And by the way, doubt does not bring us a whole lot of peace. And then somebody, on occasion, and it all happens to us in a variety of ways, somebody will come to us, a Christian, a fellow brother or sister in Christ, and say, boy, Jesus got me through this day. And you go, whoa, wait a minute, you're talking about the one that I need more assurances from. I need to know he's present. You have seen the Lord? Wow. Well, I'm going to say to all of you this morning, you've seen the Lord. Through the eyes of faith, look back into your own life and see how Jesus has brought you through with his mighty hand and an outstretched arm. I wouldn't be here today without him, I know that. He's our ever-present help. Thomas had doubts. Sure he did. We have doubts. We struggle sometimes. God, where are you? I need to see you. I need to hear you. And God opens our eyes to see and our ears to hear through the proclaiming and witnessing of his word. And that's what we're hearing this morning. Jesus is saying to all of us, I'm alive, I've conquered sin, death, and the power of the devil. I'm victorious, and so are you, because you know what? I did this all for you. All for you. And I did it, by the way, for everybody. Everybody who's ever lived or will live until the end of time, I did it for everybody. I took your place. I did for you what you could not have done for yourself. Perfect life. Innocent suffering. The death of God's Son and the resurrection and the conquering of that death to life again. We have so much, so very much to be thankful for. We need to constantly be aware of God's touch, of his call, of his word, and of his promises. And that's why we're here today. We're here today in worship to be reminded of Jesus, our victorious Lord and Savior, who never leaves us. He's always there. He's always reaching into your heart and saying, peace be with you. By the way, trust me. Hold on to this peace that I give you. And that's our joy. That's our joy and that's our promise. Today we walk, we live, and we have our very being in that word and promise and deliverance of God through the raising of his Son, Jesus. We are more than winners. You have a great message to share with the world, within your family, within your community. Because Jesus lives, we live also. And nothing will separate us from this love. God has conquered. He has won. Seeing and believing, faith and trust with a godly vision of God's hand leading us day by day. You've all seen it. You all know it, and God calls us to share it. First Sunday after Easter, every day, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. He is risen for you. Amen.